It is. What were you saying? You're not calling them marketing nuggets.
We're calling them
know-hows.
Marketing drops.
I did not say the word know-how.
You said it on the last podcast.
A little bit
you
of said, know-how?
You said some marketing know-how, and I said know-how, and you're like, yeah, I said nugget too much.
Oh. Yeah, can't remember.
Pasquary, I'm defending you. Okay, welcome to the Baking It Up podcast.
Where we talk about the twins.
Welcome to the Baking It Down podcast, which is an extension of a Facebook group. If you haven't joined or if you requested to join and it's still pending, blame Corey, delete your pending request and resubmit it with just podcast.
Yeah. If those are the answers, you're going to be shocked.
So, question for those in podcast land wondering, why are so many people pent on?
Okay.
You're not. I know if you don't answer any questions, automatic.
Right.
There's so much spam and scam in these groups. You can't just readily accept everybody. Okay, cool. Some people have answered the questions.
When you let people in, you have to let them in slowly but surely so they can get the vibe, not get overwhelmed.
When a lot of little wavy hands enter a group, kind of the atmosphere changes a little bit.
Yeah.
We got to bring them in.
Yeah, and our group is so sickeningly positive.
Okay, you wrote that word yesterday, and I was thinking, is it sickeningly or sickeningly?
Sickeningly?
I think sickeningly. I think you got it.
Sickeningly. No, that doesn't sound
right. Now that I've said it 30 times, it doesn't sound like a real word. So... then the people, okay, so you're doing like...
Yeah, so when there's just a few, you can kind of come in, you're like, oh, this is a very positive group. Oh, yeah. We don't customer mash in here. And then they can kind of get acclimated versus if I let everyone in at the same time, it's just reckless. A little chaotic.
Yeah.
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 And I am the only one who goes through all the admin alerts. There's probably like...
I've set up many an alert and I've left it. delete some.
I have to read through them. Yeah, if there's a curse word, I have to delete it.
Right.
So when it tags a word, it doesn't say, oh, it tags this word. It just said moderation alert. And I have to read through the comment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, bleep.
Yeah, you could say the word cookie college and it shows up. You could say.
I can turn the cookie college off, but
I like to read it.
You just want the alerts.
But I'm letting in slowly but surely each and every day. You know, if you want to be moved to the top of the list.
Podcast.
Or send me the name that you're under on Instagram.
That one always works.
Yeah, I usually
answer immediate front of the line when you say.
Yeah, because I can search you.
Yeah, fair.
I can search your name.
What is the podcast about?
The podcast is actually someone recommended this to the group because we talked about it one time in the podcast, said we were going to do it, and there did we.
Okay.
So it is about rebranding.
Rebranding best practices or rebranding boo-boos we've seen?
I think let's do first best practices.
Okay.
So if you know, I was the crumb cookie for the longest time. Since day uno. I just made it up in the middle of the night one night.
I have many gripes.
Heather hated it. Hated it.
From a UX experience, user experience.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you had three issues.
You already know what you're going to say.
I'm actually going to throw in the fourth because I know you know what I'm going to say. The first one is using the article the.
Yeah.
When I see a business include the word the, it makes me automatically assume from a marketing perspective that somebody has the non-the version.
So the apple. I can't use that.
Yeah. So think about it this way. The Cookie College is parked and for sale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sorry, Cookie College is parked in for sale, so we are the Cookie College, which is immediately what I suspect when I see the article the, is that the first one was taken.
But doesn't the word the kind of flow
sometimes?
It
has a place sometime, but I have...
I will say, it looks weird to have it in the URL.
Okay, then you had...
Heather,
you had an
like
adjective that was... had a tense to it.
Yeah.
Crumbed. Past tense. Wouldn't that be a verb? Anyways, you grammar folk can chime in. So, the article... crumbed past tense. So, but a lot of people thought she was saying crumb.
Yeah, you would have to really enunciate, crumbed, which me and Heather do not do.
I found it's because our lips don't touch.
Crumbed.
Duh. So you would almost, could you imagine saying crumbed.
I always had to spell it. Crumbed. Crumbed. Crumbed.
Also, crumb has a B in it, and that's just a wild word.
Crumb.
Duh.
I know. There's just the silent B in there.
Yeah, like what a wild word.
Heather didn't like that it ended where you had to say, if you say the crumbed cookie out loud, if you actually enunciate, you have to say the crumbed, cookies. The
plural.
Crumbed cookies.
And this is my third gripe. The cookies was plural.
Uh-huh.
So we have a lot of grammar
going on. Did you want it to be the
on
crumbed cookie?
I'm just saying, it just leaves a little question. Did she say cookies? Or cookie, yeah.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't think this was going to take off.
And no one ever does. Yeah. You just say, oh, I got to have a name. Okay, I'll just pick this name. And then you're stuck with this rebranding question. Uh-huh. Now, the final nail in Corey's branding coffin was it was very similar to a popular chain called Crumble Cookie.
Crumble. But that when I first made mine, they weren't over here.
See, Crumble goes a step further and adds a incorrect spelling.
E out.
And just have crumble.
Crumble.
Yeah, which is a wild. Now we're so far from the original word.
I know.
So with the power of those four combined, they are Captain Rebrand.
They are Captain. And what I prefer in life personally is a refresh versus a rebrand.
But so break us down the difference between the two.
A rebrand is like you're changing a lot of the noticeable things. So you're changing your name. You're changing your logo. You know, the colors.
Right, everything.
Yeah.
A refresh is I may be tweaking the logo or making it, you know. I know a lot of people are like, this is my logo and I'll die with it. Google has changed its logo many times. Uh-huh. Look at AOL. Look at Yahoo. These big companies
are
not afraid of a refresh. And it helps because just like clothes have trends, so does graphic design. Mm-hmm. And there's many trends that are coming and going. If you've seen right now, maximalism in graphic design, where everything is almost too crowded. And that is kind of a retro vibe. If you see Pepsi announced its refresh. And they brought back in its 1970s kind of font inspo. So it looks like nostalgic, but brought into future.
I do feel like that's where the world is at, kind of nostalgic.
Right. You remember Pepsi's old logo where it kind of looked like somebody with their forgot to put a belt on and it's like their pants have fallen down?
No.
Yeah, it's really funny if you look at it.
I do not.
Hold on. I need to fan mash you. Pepsi
old logo.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Here, come see.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So here is, see this one? They always say it looks like a man with a belly.
I see it.
Right. And now their logo that they just came out with is this guy.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Right. So that was very noisy for people in the audience.
So sorry.
You said get up. No, I think we're going to bring the microphone. Not a word can be missed when Gloria speaks. But anyways, Pepsi, Cola, rebranded. They refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Now for what we were dealing with Corey and what we've dealt with a few clients, a rebrand is kind of everything.
Yeah.
That's colors, the word, the low. It just, it's starting over.
Yeah. It kind of felt like I was starting over.
It is rough from SEO perspective. It is a rough thing to do.
Yeah.
But there are cases and times where the long con, it makes sense to do it now. So let's talk about that. When is a good time to rebrand? Sooner the better.
I think before you get customers.
So out the gate, if you're just getting started and you're like, well, I haven't even chosen a name yet, here's some pet tips. And I want to say they're not tips. They're highly encouraged because this is no misspellings. Just really try not to do it.
I will say if I'm trying to tag a business in a Facebook group to give them a referral and it's so misspelled mm-hmm. that I'm having to leave that, I will actually just...
That's 50 more million steps and nobody's going to do it. Mm-hmm. So think about a huge lead source when it comes to cookies is people tagging your page in groups. Mm-hmm. If those people can't readily find your page because you have a misspelling or something like that, it is going to be an uphill battle. Again, our funnels of converting people, the longer we make them, the less sales we make. So why even start uphill or downhill?
Going uphill.
Why even start going uphill with a very complex name?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing.
What?
Have your keyword in your name. And I know it's not cute. I know.
Here's what I see a lot of bakers say. Well, I don't just want to be captured into cookies. What if I want to expand one day?
Welcome. Welcome to the battle that is choosing the correct name. You know, Corey and I have the policy. Riches are in the niches. So when you broaden your name, which sounds cool because you open it up wide, you also aren't great. You're a jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, you can't necessarily – I wouldn't suggest necessarily using bakery because to me it sounds like a brick and mortar and I'm going to be showing up at your house.
Uh-huh. It's a rough one. So, I mean, we're obviously biased because this is sugar cookie marketing. I like having the word cookies in the logo. In the name.
Yeah.
Because think of it from a search perspective. When I say search, Google search.
Mm-hmm.
Search engines are huge traffic drivers. They say 70% of people, I think, use Google. Although ChatGPT be leaving in the field.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? I was reading today. Google made a huge announcement yesterday. Mentioned AI none.
Why?
They're not focusing on it. But what they found is that Gen Z doesn't like Google search. Because Gen Z wants to see a visual vibe of the location they're trying to go to.
So where are they going?
They're going to TikTok and Instagram Reels. Oh, so wow. Google says we will not be left out because Google search is pretty ugly.
It is.
Just text space, yeah, no pictures.
It is.
They're coming with a highlights video feed.
Oh, nice.
For search. Wow. So you can search for a restaurant and see it within search.
Oh, wow.
And then they're going to like have experts that give you a honest like review, kind of building Yelp
like
into
the
this.
Google local guides?
I'm not sure. It didn't really spell out exactly. Yeah. I just read a precursor of the whole thing. But okay, because Google knows. But when we talk about search, okay, if I'm going to give you an obscure name, what's your cat's name, Fuzz?
Yeah.
Fuzz and Wuzzums. What if Corey's name was, business name was Fuzz and Wuzzums? Okay, well, it has her cat. She loves her cat. It's her vibe. Uh-huh. Everything's real cute. But if I'm searching for cookies, Fuzz and Wuzzums isn't going to show up first.
And if you even saw that name, it wouldn't connect it with right. baking.
And that's a big thing is that first inclination that people have when they see your name, does it scream, I sell what you're looking for? But then you have this thing, well, I don't want to be pigeonholed into just cookies then. Mm. Then you think bakery, which most people associate with a storefront. And it's that you know, fine line of too far, too little. I prefer, you do cookies, but you also do cookie class, but we incorporated that into the name.
You did. You actually, you incorporated it into almost like the tagline.
Yeah. So taglines are a great way.
So it wasn't necessarily in the name, but it's in the tagline right under the name.
So it's Mixing Bowl, Cookie Company, Cookies and Classes is the tagline. Uh-huh. But you don't offer anything else.
Not really.
So what if somebody did cookies, classes, and pies? Would you add that to the tagline?
But then you'd be like, I can only do three things.
Right. So it's one of those things.
I say niche it down. Find what sells the best.
I wouldn't be shocked if a cookie baker offered cake pops.
True. I always get people saying, hey, can you do my cake and cookies? I'm like, no to the cake.
And cakes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I would say find what your predominant big seller is and lean into that. And then, you know, I can go to Mod Pizza and understand that I can get a salad.
True.
Right. So you got to give a little credit to your audience.
I think that IHOP, I can go there, but get everything on the menu.
Yeah. Like not just pancakes. Yeah. So as long as we're in the house of baked goods, I think we're pretty close. And I think our audience will be like, oh my goodness, that cookie baker's selling a cake.
Yeah. What do you think about when people say cookie cakes and more? And more.
The and more is taking a lot of real estate and adding nothing.
It doesn't add any value.
No. So for me, I'm out.
Shark Tank reference for those who don't know.
I would say if your name is the prime real estate, when you think of keyword search, you think of brand. Right now, best practice is in SEO is brand plus keyword, not just keyword. Corey and I are Sugar Cookie Marketing Group. That's an example of keyword only. Mm-hmm. Not ideal for search.
No.
But an example of it being better would be Miracle Twins Marketing or something like that where you have a brand and the keyword. Yeah. Otherwise, it can lend itself to keyword stuffing, which is saying cookies, 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 cookies.
Yeah.
And then be like, well, I guess I sell cookies. So that's something to keep in mind of. Absolutely. If I could say no misspellings at all, ever, mm-hmm. There's no case for a misspelling.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, just throwing it out there, I know I'm kind of throwing off your list, including your name in the baking. I see a lot of bakers start off with that and they're like, I hate it. I hate saying my name in the logo.
It would fit with the brand plus keyword, your name being the brand.
Yeah.
If you're fine with your name, I'm absolutely fine with it. It does fit the model of brand plus keyword. So Corey's Cookies would be absolutely fine with me. However, Corey is a hard word for many people to spell. There's so many variations.
It is.
Heather's Cookies, on the other hand, is pretty self-explanatory.
And there's a million Sarahs out there. And when I see Sarah's Cookies, I don't know which one is which.
Let's go to the other side of this. Okay. If it's an overused name. See, the good thing about domain names is only one person can own it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on Facebook, anyone can put a page name, even if it's used 50,000 times.
Yeah.
Right.
So when I go to tag it and it's pulling up the wrong one and I'm like, oh, now I'm going to go do some research.
I had to do that to try to match people up to their businesses.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is impossible. I had to, you know, zoom in on their profile and see if it's the same one. If I have to write a research paper to figure out which brand is yours, I would say probably wouldn't go. I would recommend against choosing that.
Yeah.
Name. Mm-hmm. But my name's Sarah. And so is apparently 50,000 other bakers. I would find something else, but that marries brand plus keyword, cookies, cakes, pies, whatever it is. I know what people are thinking. Well, I'm just going to put it all in my name. Cookies, cakes, pies.
That's a long name.
Yeah. So then we have the thing, is it too long? Because again, as a small business, you're not only working in a digital space, you're often working in a print space. If your email is so long, it goes off the business card, the 3x2, then it's still not a great name.
Yeah.
And I know it's tempting to say, well, this Sarah's Cookies is taken, so Sarah's Cookies and Cakes would be great. But now look how considerably long that is. And you also added in an and.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that a conjunction? What are ands?
Articles? Ands?
No. That was an article.
Don't ask me. I don't remember.
But yeah, so making that name tremendously long, even though you solved one problem, you introduced another. Mm-hmm. Again, this is why branding is so crazy. And in which case with Corey, there's a case for it, even though from a search engine, from an SEO perspective, it is starting over, essentially. It is.
And from my perspective, dealing with, like, outwardly with my potential customers, even though I made the whole thing from the start of the branding idea to the rebrand, it took 6 months because I needed to warm them up. I wanted to include them. Like, I included them in on the name picking. Did I care about their answers? No. I was already going to choose what I was going
to
choose.
But getting them warmed up to the fact that there will be a change.
Yes.
Now, did you likely lose some Corey?
That's my watch. Sorry. What someone wants a DIY kit. She said, thank you. We'll lend the work.
Is it Joe?
Yeah.
I don't think we have Venmo.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, so we're still talking about the tips and tricks, not the faux pas. The faux pas. Tips and tricks, again, big one. Back to the domain. Domain is the www dot, right? Uh-huh. If you go to sarahscookies.com, if Sarah, if you're listening to this, enjoy the free traffic. If you go to purchase sarahscookies.com, it's taken. Mm-hmm. Then you want to say, well, then I'll just purchase one of these 50,000 other extensions. So .co, .org, .net. Now there's so many of these.
Yeah.
Don't. And here's a big reason why. When you type those weirder extensions on Facebook, it doesn't recognize it as a URL.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can do .kitchen now.
Yeah,
I know, .podcast.
Right? Yeah.
You can do a lot of these, but because they're so odd, I find that Facebook really likes some major guys, .com, .co, .net. So you may be thinking, well, then I'll just do the .co.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Who has the .com? Because the way that the internet started, the .com bubble. We don't call it the .co bubble. We don't call it the .net bubble. Yeah. That was so pervasive that every website lived on a .com extension.
I mean,
that
now
most,
your phone automatically has a .com. Like, you can just press that without
it. Doesn't have the other ones, though. Same with when you go to @gmail when you're, like, signing up for rewards. So, yeah, you may say, well, somebody has sarahscookies.com. I'll do sarahscookies.co. When your audience, specifically if I'm thinking of my grandmother, you get a lot of people in their 70s ordering cookies. Uh-huh. When they go to type in Sarah's Cookies, you say .co, they'll naturally likely put .com.
Yeah, and if in passing, if you're like, yeah, my website's sarah.co, when I finally sit down to look you up, I'm going to type in .com just because I'm not going to remember that.
Or do the search engine thing, but I'm going to guarantee Sarah's Cookies is very – when people ask us day job question, what should I name my business? My first thing is Google what you want and see what shows up first. Yeah. If the website that shows up in the first position is updated constantly, it's beautiful, it's a website with a lot of information, it's probably going to be really hard to move in front of them.
It's someone you don't want to be a competitor with.
Yeah. So if we have somebody, if the website that's in the top spot is really nicely done and managed, it's now considered competitive. Mm-hmm. Because to fight them, it will be a fight. It won't be a natural, like, well, I just put something up that was barely good and it moved up to the front. And to fight an SEO, it's money and time.
Yeah, a lot of money, a lot of time.
A lot of time, a lot of great articles. And then they have just time in on their side. So websites that are a bit older have a lot more respect from search engines, especially if they're, you know, you got to think of the search engine. It doesn't care about you. It cares about its user, the person searching. If a user comes to your website, doesn't find what they like, Google will be like, okay, you're not first place anymore. Yeah. We got to find somebody else who's giving the search intent, who's answering the query in the way that people want to be.
Yeah.
Because when you click to a website, Google's watching how long you sit on that page. It's watching what you do after you click on that page. It's watching everything that happens on that page. And if the bounce rate exceeds what the person below you has, that person below you will rise above.
Yeah. And there's a lot of factors that go into ranking, but that's just like a common one that people
pick. So, always say, okay, well, I really like cats, cookies, and more. Then see what happens when you search it.
Yeah. I think before you even get there, what's the website you'd send people to?
Instantdomainsearch.com.
Okay.
.com. Instant domain search just lets me search a domain idea really, really quickly and gives me the options. And if it's parked, so I want to talk about something else, parked domains versus websites.
Okay.
So sometimes there's a secondary domain market where people can resell a domain. So typically domains are $13.
Yeah. And a domain, what she's talking about is like sugarcookiemarketing.com. That is the domain.
So let's pretend Corey and I don't have sugarcookiemarketing.com as a website, but a reseller is selling it. They can put whatever price tag they want.
Yeah.
So AppSumo is a lifetime deals website for software. He wanted, the guy who developed it, who's like an influencer of sorts, wanted sumo.com. It was resold for $1 million. That's what he paid. Wow. Of course, he had the money for it.
Yeah.
So AppSumo, he wanted people just to be, because imagine just the word sumo. It's four letters.
Yeah. Easy to remember. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And right along his brand, but he had the money for it. Yeah. A lot of us who are getting started, we do not have the money. I think Cookie College is like $5,000.
Yeah.
Is that something Corey and I would want? I don't know. No, not right now. I would rather have the $5,000. So it's always good to check. So let's pretend that Cookie College was just a great website where people learned how to get cookies at colleges, right? And we wanted to enter the space. I would have to say, Corey, probably back to the drawing board on the name because there's already a really high-functioning website with a brand behind it.
Yeah.
Fortunately for us, it's parked and it's for sale, so a lot of people aren't going to sell at that anyways.
True.
Now
I want it.
Now I want it. Let's see how much it is. Instant domain search. Boop. Clicking. Cookie. Contact broker. It's going to be behind a paywall.
Oh, it's like add to cart to find out the price.
Yeah. It says, please let us know what you want to pay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's how once I was like a while ago. I'm sorry, $1,200.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, no, college cookie. Somebody sell it that one? College cookies is $2,000. College cookie company is making an offer. Man, I love looking at these. Cookiesforcollege.com is $3,000.
Oh, that's a good one. You
knew your own. But looking at these, so I typed in cookiecollege.com, which is, you know, for sale. But cookiecollege.us, $10. Yeah. Why wouldn't I get it?
Because you would not type in .us.
And .us is a geographical location, United States. Yeah. Why would I want to tell half my audience, you can't buy it from me if you're in another country? That's not us. Please buy from us if you're in all the countries. So that was another thing to keep in mind when you're coming up with your brand name. So let's talk about why you chose, because I think it was an interesting name you chose.
It was.
Corey spent probably 2 months thinking of the name.
I did.
Do you have any other contenders?
Yeah, what was the other one I did?
Dad said dough something.
I could look it up, but I had one that was the top contender. Both were like kind of cuter. And I think my brand is kind of cute.
Instead of making her brand about herself, which I see a lot of people tend towards, you went to geographical location identifiers.
Yeah, so if you're around the Northern Virginia area, there's this big part of this major highway called the Mixing Bowl.
It's a highway that will eat you up and spit
you
out. If
you aren't ready, we will all get you.
It has, I don't know, at some point in the Mixing Bowl, it's 17 lanes across.
Yeah.
17.
It's huge. So, and everyone know if you say the Mixing Bowl, everyone's brain just went to that, you know, where you have to choose if you're going to D.C., Maryland, or Tysons.
Yeah.
2 seconds.
Do you want to go to Maryland around Maryland or do you want to go to Maryland through D.C.? You have to make that decision quickly. Also, please know at the end of the road is a huge wall of traffic you'll be sitting in regardless of where you choose. So Corey chose Mixing Bowl Cookie Company. We had a lot of conversations about company, whether to abbreviate it or to spell it out.
In my heart, I wanted to do Co. because it rolls off the tongue a lot better.
Yeah.
But when it came down to what was available, company was available on each one.
So when Corey says each one, here's another website that I like, namecheck.com, but leave out the E, namecheck.
Oh, see. They did too.
But you get why they named it that way? To play into the fact that namecheck was taken.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So namecheck.com tells you which handles are available. And that's what I see, which is a bummer. Corey and I suffer from it. Sugarcookiemarketing_ is our Instagram handle because the one without the underscore is taken and never updated since.
Yeah.
So when you go and you're saying, hey, if let's say the domain name isn't available, the Facebook page isn't available, the Twitter name, whoever is not anymore, the Twitter name isn't available, I would say maybe that's a sign that this is a crowded namespace.
I would agree. Right. I would agree. And I think you'd want to have a little bit more uniqueness if you could.
Differentiator.
Yeah.
Right. Because again, we don't want to have our users battle to figure out who's who.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you may say, but I really, really wanted the name with you and a bunch of other people, apparently.
Yeah.
I would, if you asked me, if I was your marketing consultant, I would say, let's come up with something else.
The thing that me and Heather don't have is emotions. We don't name things with emotions. You know, we just name it with the priority of reaching our
audience.
What's
the true goal here?
Yeah, to make more money is what it is.
That's what that's our goal. We want to make that as easy as possible. If you're like, well, this is my art and my artistry and my identity, well, you're going to have a lot more emotion than Corey and I were like, yeah, let's optimize for sales. In which case, if you really want to make this about more than sales, you name it whatever you want.
Yeah,
these are just best practices. If you're like, I want that green money.
That ain't going by itself now.
So, okay, let's go back to Mixing Bowl Cookie Company.
Okay.
I do find that to be a very long domain.
It is.
Didn't we reserve
you
both?
Yeah, but you made my email the shorter one.
So because Mixing Bowl Cookie Company is so long, we reserved both the MixingBowlCookieCo.com and MixingBowlCookieCompany.com. I've redirected both to the same location, and Corey can catch. And if I really wanted to, I could set up emails on both and have them 4-to-1.
Yeah.
If I wanted to. But I noticed on your TikTok, you had to shorten it. I think you exceeded the character limit.
No, I didn't have to.
One of them is Co.
No, at the beginning when I was like, yeah, I want to make it Co. But then you had to wait 30 days to change your name.
So
it's back
to company. So now we're all company.
It is, yeah.
That's ideal.
Uh-huh.
But I set up your email on the Co.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Should I have done that?
You said, girl, it's too long. I don't want people to have to type that much.
Well, no, I wish I didn't.
Well, mix it.
Should I?
Yeah.
You want to pay for two?
I paid for three. People are still emailing.
Crumb cookie.
Like, I'm still getting leads through it, even though now we've
got to figure out where they're coming from so we can fix it.
I cannot find it.
It's somewhere.
This person was recommended by somebody.
Oh.
So I just assumed she gave the email, but I do keep getting leads through there.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, that's another sticky part of your branding.
It is.
The residual places where you're listed. If you did any
sometimes I'm finding it. Like, it was on my you know when you can set up your instant replies on Google My Business?
Yeah. Oh, it's there.
It was there.
That's a tough one. I almost wish if I could go back in time, I would make a list of wherever I was. You just never think you're going to rebrand.
I know.
Okay. That walks us through kind of your rebrand, best practices. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about snafus.
Snafu.
I think a huge one is that residual lurking of old.
It's branding. Everywhere. Like, you have to look in your about sections.
Yeah.
You have to look in listings.
Any listings?
I know.
Any listings you don't have control. I'm thinking farmers markets. If you were listed on a website, you got to. But now you say, well, should I reach out to the. Yes. Reach out to places where you have old listings. Once we helped a client rebrand, and I just went through Google search and said, can you change his name? Can you change his name? And you just got to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to get all of those directories updated, but you can.
If you at least try. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard, at least when it came to our rebrand, to make sure old customers found out.
So a couple things we did.
Yeah.
Back to tips and tricks. Is for Corey's Google Business Profile, we did Mixing Bowl Cookie Company, formerly the Crumbed Cookies.
Mm-hmm. And that was my name on there for a while.
Like 6 months?
Yeah, I left it on there for 6 months.
And then on Corey's cover photo, we did the Mixing Bowl Cookie Company logo and all the colors. And the bottom, formerly, I think that's still there, formerly the Crumbed Cookies. It's somewhere.
No, it's still on there. It's in the banner image. And for the longest time, when Heather announced the rebrand, we had pinned that to the top.
Yes.
So it explained why there was a rebrand, where we came from, where we were going with the name.
Did you add it to your email signature? That would have been ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Tips and tricks we did not use.
The new segment.
Another thing, you had it in your Instagram name.
I did do in my name part where it said Corey Miracle, I changed it to formerly the Crumbed Cookies.
I think Kim gave you that tip because that's searchable. And then you had it in your bio. And I know
did.
We had it. So instead of using Linktree, Corey and I have
Shoreby.
Shoreby, we got it as a lifetime deal through. You'll never guess after
tomorrow. Yeah.
And that we had it there. Yeah. It might even still be there. So again, we're just constantly telling the clients what it would be nice. And I don't think you have one set up as an email marketing campaign where you could have just said
that would have been smart. But in the wake of that, actually having a Facebook ad to people who like your page already to kind of wake them up, like, look what we're doing, we're rebranding.
We could have done much better with ads.
Yeah.
But again, it's volume. So you and I are focusing on sugar cookie marketing, cookie college, cookie classes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, again, if you want to fill up your calendar, you're going to be more aggressive.
Yes.
Which is another thing I think we should talk about in the podcast. People are always like, what do you put back into marketing? It depends on what kind of campaign. Mm-hmm. If you're in an aggressive campaign growth phase, you're going to be doubling, tripling down your marketing budget. And once you have that funnel kind of built up, you're going to pull back a little bit and your marketing budget can go much down and you can reinvest. But still there. You don't want to go to zero. I always tell people it's funny because when we work with clients for so long, their expectations rise to a new status quo.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, well, this is how it's always been. No, it's because there's now marketing behind you. But then they're like, well, I don't need it anymore. I'm good. But then I've said, you're going to see this fall off very slowly because marketing takes a long life cycle before your audience is like, I forgot what the name of that person was.
Yeah.
Back to rebranding. Let's talk about colors.
So
Corey had a pretty, okay, again, like many of you guys listening, she just didn't think it was going to become anything.
No.
Just this little side hobby. Whoever starts a hobby and thinks this will be something I'm going to do. So Corey, I had just downloaded the Pixel drawing app. So I drew a cookie that was crying. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And Corey's like, oh, I'll just make this my stupid logo for nothing because this was nothing.
A crying cookie.
But it was pixelated. It was confused. It was complicated.
It was.
It was hard to use.
Yeah.
He was cute though.
He was adorable.
He was crying, so he had a weird backstory.
Yeah, people are like, well, why are you so sad all the time?
Because he got eaten in his head out of my head. And Heather was bored. So what we wanted to do this rebrand, rather than just change the name, let's change everything. And let's completely, because again, no emotion to the crying cookie guy. He's cute, but money's kind of cuter.
So Heather said, let's make this look like a bigger brand. So with that feeling of a bigger brand is the trustworthiness that just comes with something that's well branded. It's doing some of that, you know, credibility work for you. You don't have to earn every single customer. It actually comes with this feeling when you click to someone's website or on their Facebook page, you're like, wow, I feel like this company is not going to close in the middle of the night on me.
A great way to do that is high quality photos.
Yeah.
High quality graphic design. And Canva templates can take you a long way.
They can.
Before you think that, like, I don't know what I'm doing. One, there's a Skillshare class on absolutely everything under the sun. Yeah. And if not, there's a free YouTube video. But when we talked about that, and this is what I know, some people will be like, well, I don't want us to be seen as a big brand. I want to be a mom and pop. What Corey's kind of saying here is that, have you ever hired somebody and you're like, I'm not sure you got my email because I feel like you don't even have a website. The same way that you no longer would likely order from a company that doesn't have a website is the same way that Corey's saying, like, having branding dialed in just a bit is going to give your audience peace of mind that if I call this person and I give them my money, I'm going to get something out of it.
I know you guys have clicked to a Facebook page out there. If you're looking for a cleaner or a roofer, you've clicked to their Facebook page to see, you know, a little bit more about them. And it's like cobwebs and dust. They haven't posted it for 2 years. No comments and like
no review replies.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good as a consumer.
You don't have, as a consumer, one or that Think Fast, Think Slow book. It says your brain really tries to not make a lot of decisions. Yeah. It's a waste of energy. It's trying to be like, hey, I got only so much time in the day. If I see one company that looks like it's updated all the time, it has 5-star reviews, it has 100 reviews, one company that looks like it hasn't been seen in decades, you'll just naturally choose the second one. So having your branding, your name brand dialed in will help that process along just a little faster.
Yeah. And I will say a lot of people choose to talk like, oh, we here at the Mixing Bowl Cookie Company, you know, no, it's just me. So I will be that person like you are just working with the baker.
That's an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. So Corey, I guess in a way using I is still mom and pop.
That's what I feel.
A lot of people say the we thing because it sounds bigger. But you are a mom and pop. So what if your branding was dialed in, but it was still you, Corey, the baker?
Yeah.
And then I know for sugar cookie classes, I just call us the twins.
Right.
Not like we at sugar cookie classes.
Me and Heather have never been like the aficionado. Like we're not official people. Like we've worked with companies that like to have that
conversational, kind of, approachable neighbor, next door neighbor vibes.
Yeah. That's what we're more like.
Some of our clients though, higher end clients especially, if you were going to luxury cakes for weddings, maybe the branding's going to look a little bit different. Yeah. Maybe we're going to have a lot more gold or yellows or, you know, Lux.
Yeah. And I think I'm making a bunch of birthday cookies, so we need to be fun and free.
Right. How you brand is what you attract.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what a serif font is and a sans without serifs font, you know, like when I say Times New Roman, it has those little things on the edge?
Mm-hmm.
That's a serif font. Sans, Sarah, is without those edges.
Sans, like without.
Yes. So yours is a sans serif font because sans serif fonts seem more conversational.
Yeah.
Serif fonts with kerning, the spacing between each letter. If you take a serif font and add spacing between it, luxe.
Heather Lowe.
Beautiful. really clean fonts are going to be more high end. Mm-hmm. So you'd say, naturally, if you're a marketing person, well, I want most the most money possible. That's what we're here for. Yeah. We're not here to make friends. I'm here to make cash. Franklin's. So you'd say, well, then of course I'm going to be upmarket branding. But if you'd also have to, me and Corey are hardly showering these days.
Yep.
So if Corey wants to wear Cookie Dealer as a shirt, then maybe she's going to go for a more approachable brand. Yeah. But there may be more money in that wedding venue. However, if you want to match that branding, then your text, your copy, your photos,
I would say that matches. If you wanted to go for corporate clients, they just kind of want that.
My logo.
You're going to get it done.
Right. Efficiency, quick turnaround, and consistency in.
Short, concise, to the point. Yeah. Can you get this done? Yes, I can.
Right. And if you want to go to weddings, you're going to talk about dreams, best day of your life.
More adjectives in there when you're talking about it.
You're going to make it really luxurious. Mm-hmm. You're going to confirm a wedding. What does a wedding person want? They want to make sure you're there and they want it to be the best you've ever done.
Yeah.
If you're doing kids' birthday parties, we're not going to come in with that wedding high-end vibe. We're going to come in with a sans serif font and Mixing Bell Cookie Company. I like making your cookies. That kind of vibe, right? So you're going to kind of think about that when you're going into a rebranding phase is what is the messaging that you're going to see yourself doing today and 2 years from today? Mm-hmm. Assuming that this keeps going, act as if that's the plan.
Yes. Also with coloring, I didn't really have any colors going on in my life. With the other one, it was a brown cookie. That's about it. There was no rhyme or reason. So Heather took it and we went bright. Eye-catching, this feels good, this is fun to look at.
We went with like a peachy red, which I thought was a vibe, and like a just a lighter than a Cheez-It orange.
I think it's very appealing. It's
white.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had three colors to choose from because here's my one thing. Here's back to snafus. When I have a client that's so rigid on their logo that we're not even allowed to piece it apart, it is going to make your branding really hard to work with.
Yeah.
So Corey and I came up with an icon. The icon is, you'll never guess, a cookie. Mm-hmm. Does it have a bite taken out of it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think I have a version of it where the bite's still there. So you can use it in two different places. Why? Because on Facebook, we work in circles.
Yeah.
I think in Google My Business, we're in squares. So on Facebook, if I can have an icon identifier, that means I don't have to have the text there. Now, Heather, wouldn't you want the text there? It's Mixing Bowl Cooking. That's a lot of words.
You're not going
to be able
to see it. I
even have them stacked so we can make them a little bigger. It's not a big enough space, but I can have an icon. Uh-huh. Think about Google. Google is a word, G-O-O-G-L-E. But they use the G as their icon.
Yeah.
And to incorporate the other colors, the G is all of the colors. Yeah. That's how they do it. Then you have like Internet Explorer, we all know as the E. But then they switched to Edge, but you notice they kept the E.
Yeah.
Kind of thinking of that, but coming up with these icons makes the logo usage a lot easier. Now, if you say, well, I always have these clients who are like, don't touch it. Don't mess it up. Don't really, because that's just going to be really hard to work with when we only have very small spacing.
Yeah. That's where the emotion comes in. It's sometimes you have to sit down and be like,
what's best for the business?
Yeah. What's best for the business? And if you're like, you know what? No, you won't. Hey, then that's best for you. It's not best for your business. And as long as you know that.
Yeah. If you're saying, hey, I don't want to do this. I know it's best for my business, but I'm going to say no. Say also finish the rest of the sentence. I'm making my funnel longer and I'll have just a little bit of a harder time making sales, but I'm willing to double down on the effort because I'm unwilling to change in this one aspect.
Wow. That's a lot of words to re-say.
You say that and then you shove it into a logo because you don't want to make it smaller.
That's very true though.
Now we have to have the ability to switch the colors around. Yeah. So Corey's logo is white text with the white icon. However, in various places, I'll make the icon, the colors, and the background white and just where it fits better, where it gets more attention. There's, ADA compliance as well. So if your logos are really hard to view, some websites won't even let you use it. Oh. Yeah, because it's kind of these kind of like an example of poor colors together is bright blue and bright yellow. It's hard to see. So do you want to be ADA compliant? Ideally, so keep in mind that a lot of those colors that don't work probably don't look great anyways.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind. But people are difficult. One thing in life, consistency is death, taxes, and difficult folks who like their logos. But if you are thinking you don't like your logo, let's recap. No typos. Try to keep the logo succinct. Don't pick something that a lot of people are already using. Simple, simple, simple. The more simple you can make your logo, the better. Match your vibe. Match your approachability. If you want to be luxe, look luxe. Yeah. If you want to be neighborhood cookie baker, be neighborhood cookie baker. If you want to be corporate cookie baker, can these all cross over? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But again, we're just shortening our funnel if we get really close to our target audience. What else we say? I kind of really like colors that are friendly and approachable that match your vibe again.
Yeah.
There's such things as luxury colors. If you think royal blue, royal purple, and there's things as these approachable colors, which are like these peaches and stuff.
Yeah.
And things like that. What else?
What else? Are you on the faux pas?
I kind of feel like we just stuck them all together.
Yeah, I think you did.
And we just complained at these people for an hour.
When it comes to how we marketed it, it was a 6-month long process of giving my audience the idea that it was going to happen, but also including them in on the process. Like Heather made this logo and Heather hated it, but it was this circle that had a road through it.
It was the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
But what it did was allow my audience to...
Corey, you sacrificed me. And she posted in a community group. What does everyone think of this? Of course, they're like, it looks like puke.
Yeah. But what it did was if the people knew me, they're like, oh, you're rebranding? Oh, here's what I... And it just got my name out there just a little bit more. And I let my audience kind of have a choice in it. Then I let my audience have a choice in the name. And what this was doing was they weren't necessarily going to decide it for me because they already knew what I was going to do. But it kept them involved in the process. So their comments helped with reach and everything like that.
But also keep in mind this. If we go back to the old 2% rule, people aren't seeing your posts.
No.
So that one time you make a post, it's going to have to be more than once. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be the process of rebranding. Another thing that I think you did that you're not giving yourself credit for is the videos of like, hey, Heather ordered me tissue paper. Here's what it looks like. It's got my new logo on it. So again, those are multiple and multiple reminders that this company is switching gears.
Yeah.
Now, an example is we had another client who's like, rebrand, and I want it launched in a week. Of course, behind the scenes, it had been going on, but they wanted the announcement to the clients to be just immediate, like no hug.
Yeah. It's so abrasive.
That it caused weird panic. Of clients that are like, what's happening?
Did the other business close down? Did someone buy you out? Is it no longer?
All negative things. Yeah. All positive. So what I wanted to do, and of course, I'm just working marketing my whole life. I don't know what I'm doing. What I wanted to do was slowly warm up the audience and keep the like circular logo, kind of keep the announcement. I would really like to have videos where they're announcing why the change was. Anyways, no. It was extremely abrasive, and then it had to be reverted because the audience was like, whoa, we don't feel
it
safe.
It was so starkly different. I like that you can always do a brand refresh. You're not locked into your logo. If you're like, yeah, you know, I want to refresh, you can, you know, spice it up a little bit.
A lot of the refreshes you'll see are very similar to what they were before. Yeah. Just some aspects have been brought into whatever century that we're in currently from where they were 10 years ago. Yeah. With the client that we're referencing now, it was 100% change. There was absolutely no consistency other than the services provided.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really hard for an audience who's already not disinterested in everything to have to adapt to so quickly. Again, our audience has no loyalty. They want simple. They want familiarity. And we did, or the client did, exactly the opposite. Yeah. Complex and not familiar. Yeah. It sent people spiraling.
It did.
I mean, even these, you know, companies that aren't, that you don't think, a lot of people have an allegiance to what they know. Mm-hmm. And then you've just said, kids, we're getting a divorce. Yeah. You know? And it's kind of hard to deal with that. So you got to keep in mind that your audience, very, very short attention spans, very limited loyalty. We want to respect that by pulling them along with us, kind of that hug. Hey, this is okay. Yeah. We're all going to be okay. And I know that these businesses that we do, we're making cookies, but a lot of folks only order from you guys once a year.
Yeah, a lot of times on their kid's birthday. Mm-hmm.
So imagine when they go and you're gone.
I know.
How are they going to make that connection? So the ways that you will lose people.
I saw you closed down, but I found that you had changed your name.
You're going to have people follow the funnel. So you've got to plan according.
I will say to that point, changing the name, there was a slight where I didn't feel like I was getting as many leads.
For sure.
And I was like, oh, a little panic.
So build that in.
Yeah.
If you have to do a couple cookie classes to flow your business, as you are guaranteed to lose leads, people will not. Another thing, if we're saying 6 months runtime, get that email list going. It would have helped Corey a lot. We didn't have one put together. Sloppy marketing.
I know.
Do as we say. Do as we do. That would have been a great, hey guys, this is coming. Hey guys, a reminder. Then if you had a dialed in CRM, it would have been like, hey, Shelly, I know you ordered for me last year. Just want to let you know I'm still here.
Almost you could get more leads with it,
what a great way to reach out again. Because a lot of people are like, I feel awkward saying happy birthday, bye from me.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, I'm Corey, bye from me. So those are things to keep in mind. Should you rebrand? There are cases where I see you guys tag your pages and I'm like, ooh, that you are having to work harder because of what you're dealing with. Some of your logos, pretty complicated. I find, I'm sure you know it, it's difficult to work with. It's very complex. It's hard to make into smaller pieces that fit different dimensions. If we have a flyer versus we have a business card. What if I said a sticker? Here's the thing. Print it off on a thermal printer. You'll know if it's good. You'll know if it's too complicated. That thermal printer takes no prisoners. Like, that's complicated. I'm not even going to print it. So that's just some things to consider with a rebrand or refresh.
Yeah. So what we did was we got cute circular business cards.
Because now her icon was very easy to work with, although still circular.
Still circular, but I think they're absolutely adorable. And the colors are bright.
What did I do on it?
You did like all the branding. So everything that you did, you just put it on there.
Okay.
We did the tissue paper, the custom tissue paper, custom boxes. Heather made me a custom yard sign. All these have the same colors in the logo.
You know what I got targeted an ad for? It's called like giant stamps. And it's a stamp that's this big.
Why would you need that?
Because they were stamping it on giant bags. But it was huge. Should we?
How would we do? I guess you take the pad and just stamp it like this.
Yeah, I think that's what they were doing.
It'd be the only way
to do it. It's a huge stamp. I just want to see what it looks like. Okay. Of course, it's going to be, I guess, whatever stamp color you wanted. You could get a punchy red.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. Or an orange. Yeah, that'd be cute.
Would orange show up on a... You got a white bag.
Yes.
See, there we go. The more you're willing to budge on colors and reverse them and inverse them, the more on dial.
It is.
Yeah. So ask yourself, do you know the big things are the not having the .com. Can you do a .net? I guess. Can you add an article? Sure, Corey and I did it. Can you add an underscore at the end of your Instagram handle? Yeah, there's cases. There's just best practices. There's good practices. There's okay practices. And they're like, oof, you're having to work a lot harder than you should have to.
But I think don't be scared of a rebrand. I think you might feel a lull in the sales as people get used to it.
But take your time.
Yeah. And it can actually produce more leads for you once you rebrand.
What do you think about timing the rebrand around a slow season? I wouldn't necessarily want to rebrand at Christmas.
I know, but a slow season, then it's busy season.
So a moderate season? Easter? Mother's Day? Those are, to me, the middle of the road.
True.
So slowest time will be July. Bar none.
I know. I guess I waited till January because I still felt like I was in feeds.
January's kind of a slower time, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some logic at play in there. If you want to start warming up your audience, if I would say July would be my rebrand, I would start warming them up in January.
Oh, that's for
6 months.
Yeah.
Then come Christmas. What I wouldn't want to do is like December 1.
I would be like after Christmas, you might see a rebrand.
Because why we're saying that, the holidays starting in the end of September when we lead into Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, those are when people are like, I know I bought from her last year. What's her name?
They're just wanting to throw their money at somebody and they don't want to research who that is.
Right. So I wouldn't necessarily time it any time near those big holidays unless it's after.
Yeah. I guess, and then you can make posts on Nextdoor. You have your business account there. You have your Google business profile.
I would make multiple posts. I would have a campaign schedule.
You can do the updates on there.
I would say 3 months of reminding people that you change your name, and then also that email list would have been really solid because you're back in the inbox. We could have sent an email from your old one and then switched over to the new one. Would have been good. Again, there's best practices, and then there's me and Corey. Underscore.
Well, they're those who talk about best practices.
Yeah, but that is something to keep in mind as you migrate. Also, if you had a domain and now you're getting a new one, a redirect, a 301, a temporary redirect, shows people that they've been migrated. But on the website, I encourage people to say real big, this is where you thought you were going and you're still in the right place. I've just changed my name.
And if you're wondering what redirect is, that means if you did sugarcookiemarketing.com, but we changed our name to sugarcookietwins.com,
you'd still end up on sugarcookietwins even though you typed in sugarcookiemarketing. If a website, it no longer exists, it pulls up a 404 error. That means the website is gone. to let your audience go there, it would feel like you've closed, and we wouldn't want that. So would you be paying for two domains? Yes, you would.
Just for a while.
$10 isn't going to make or break you.
I think it's worth it.
But I'd also probably keep that redirect going just in the case that some directories, some Yelp, some things you can't get to may have that old domain. Yes. So you can still capture that traffic.
Yeah.
You guys got this, okay?
I know. Now I've been handing out my business cards. Like every time someone orders, whether you're ordering, just like pick up a PYO or your – I'm just including business cards.
Why not?
Like you take it, give it to somebody, but put this one on your fridge.
there's many – I got to sneeze a little bit. I'm going to try.
Go ahead.
It's the allergy season.
I know.
I turned on the AC and I was like, "Foomp!" Right in my socket. Little pollen. I saw on Reddit, the North Virginia subreddit, somebody's like, "I've just moved here. What is this stuff on my car after rain?"
Oh, welcome.
Like, you know,
it was,
little,
yeah, it was everywhere.
Those little circles of water droplets and pollen and dirt. Someone's like, "Welcome to the area. The trees are having babies." It is wrecking with my sinuses. That said, Would if you rebranded again, let's pretend you wanted to.
Okay.
When would that be? When would be the ideal time? I'm always thinking 2 years.
I think a rebrand every 2 years.
Any shorter and I feel like you have commitment issues.
I would be like, whoa.
If you never rebranded, not a bad thing.
No.
If your branding was really complicated, it might be a bad thing if you're trying to like, you know.
Yeah. That's what I see most in the sugar cookie marketing group. People like, I made this, you know, in the dark of night one night. Now I hate it. It doesn't represent me and my brand.
That's pretty much what I see as a predominant reason why people rebrand. Another one is maybe you entered the market where there was no Sarah's doing cookies and now all the Sarah's are doing cookies. Maybe then I think.
Yeah.
A great way to test it is have a husband, wife, not you, on their phone who doesn't like your page, do at in your page and see what shows up. If you are not in the first spot, probably losing a few leads to some other Sarah out there. And that creates a confusion of sorts. I know people are going to say, well, trademark it. I want to confess, I was going to teach a cookie college class on trademarking. That system, the U.S. trademark office, is meant to make you fail. To file incorrectly is $300. Non-refundable.
And you filed.
Incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
So as soon as it rejects, you have a certain duration where I think you can resubmit and maybe they'll like consider it like because you weren't totally off. It might as well have been written in Greek. I had no idea. And I'd like to think I can read. I couldn't read Greek. Immediately, though, it notifies all these trademark lawyers that you're whatever that
you got
thing
rejected.
Is called. Yeah,
you
have no idea what you're doing. I never felt so popular. All these lawyers reach out and say, hey, we see that your trademark application was rejected. Can we resubmit it? So I said, well, you know what? I'm not an expert. These people are. So $800 out the door.
$800 mm-hmm. plus your $300 that was rejected.
I think it was $800 including that. I think it was $600
really?
For these people.
Nice.
Whatever. Anyways, it just came through.
And it worked.
Yeah. Well, because they knew what they were doing. So you'd say, okay, so Corey and I trademarked really just as an example. So I could teach the class, which now my classes click here and pay them. So it was outrageous. That was pretty crazy. It was just so many steps.
Same with taxes, man. I ain't
that's
excited.
Also crazy.
You already
that's
did
coming.
Yours.
I know I did it wrong. I just did it wrong.
They'll find you.
They'll find me. Oh, look at my IRS pen pal buddy. Hey, Heather. Hey, you doing? That's exciting.
Like, you know the drill.
I already got the check made out. Just let me know who to rat to and how much to rat for. So you could essentially, you know, trademark it and then enforce it against other poor people.
Yeah.
That's one way to circumvent that. But again, from a marketing perspective, I would ask if that many people are using it, is it even worth it? Can you just fall out of love with the name that you thought you wanted and in the name of making more money at less work?
Buzzum wasum.
Buzzum wasum. Wasn't. I see people sit down. They really put their heart and soul, mind, body, spirit.
I love that. I love that.
Passion.
Yeah.
But is that passion paying the bills?
Is it?
I don't think I've seen passion writing checks like I do to the IRS. That wraps it up.
That's
my soapbox on rebrands and refresh.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself doing a brand refresh? I think your branding looks.
I think right now I'm really happy.
2023.
Really happy.
I can't say that your branding will look 2026.
Yeah. And that is fine. I really do like the logo and the colors. But now that the colors and the logo is established, if we change the...
We're not like big either.
It would just be...
Yeah.
Oh.
There would probably be just updating the text, the fonts.
Yeah.
How they work together. Maybe we stop teaching classes and drop the tagline. Who knows?
No, the class got us by a chuckle. Let me, as we move on to the next subject, I forgot to bring this up last week, but we did a collab.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the Meet the Baker collab. And I have to say, I enjoyed so much seeing your faces and reading about you. I hope those who took my tips on the copy realized how easy it was to connect to your audience by giving them something to go off of.
I will say, as somebody who had to make comments,
yeah,
it was so much more enjoyable to, one, learn more about you, about interesting facts, mm-hmm. and to be able to reply to you without... I'll be honest, people who didn't use your copy inspo and just said, really had, this is me, I'm the banker. I had a really tough time complimenting your hair color.
I love your apron.
Right. There wasn't any substance to reply to.
Yeah, there was no connection. Meet the Baker was about, you know, meeting you, but also connecting with your audience. And you're going to have to use some words to connect with people.
Once people have an emotional connection to a brand, mm-hmm. I want you to go click on Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And you'll see who has an emotional connection to a brand.
Yeah.
And those who don't, because the way they write is wildly different. When I click on a brand and I click the comments because I am so nosy that I'm striving to find drama, and I see that people are like, listen, I love this product. I am not paid to say this. I think, okay, well, I'm going to have to love it too. You love it that much that you're willing to take time out of your day to give an unsolicited, unpaid review, then I might. Amen. Like it too.
Amen. But I wanted to give everyone a tip. You guys did phenomenal for the collab. And now you still have like, you know, hey, thanks for Sugar Cookie Marketing _.
This is a good tip. Everyone, dial back in. I know you just zoned out. Come back.
In the collab, it said at the bottom, thank you, Sugar Cookie Marketing, for putting on this fun collab. If you want to see others,
you did the collab. Coffee?
That's how you're supposed to. If you want to see other people in the collab, check out Sugar Cookie Marketing Collab, the hashtag. Yeah. What I want you to do is go and delete that. I want you to go to delete the copy in that post. Your post already got the juice, so you're good to go to delete. It's not going to trend anymore. But what I want you to do is go and add like the best way to order from you. Hey, I love doing birthday sets. You need a place in order 1 to 2 months in advance. I'm already booking for May. And then I want you to pin that to the top of your profile. You can
pin 3 posts. I know some of you might be thinking, well, should I just make a new post? It would look redundant.
And the problem is you got a lot of engagement.
Got a lot of engagement, which makes me, was that social proof? Mm-hmm. When you see a post with a lot of engagement, which we manufactured engagement using the collab. Mm-hmm.
And you might be like, well, now the comments don't make sense. Let me tell you.
Nobody's reading them.
They're not.
I'm reading them on ads. Just me. It's because I have no life.
But what it's doing is now when people come to your profile, it's your face front and center. And then when they click to it, because we're always gravitating towards someone's faces, when they click to it, they're getting the best information they need to place an order with you.
Yes.
So
love that idea. Yeah. Do you have what are your other 2 pin posts? Wait, I'm gonna look.
I only pinned one.
Why not all 3?
I don't know.
Can I talk about the transfers thing? You people. It is a gimmick to get your butt in the group. So I thought it'd be fun in April. Corey and I talked about it, to give away a transfer sheet a day.
She did.
So every day in April, at some point in the day when I get to it, there's a free transfer download. All you have to do is click a button.
Yeah.
But after the 24 hours, that sheet's gone.
It's gone.
And you'd be like, Heather, but I didn't have a chance. Exactly. It's my gimmick to get you back into this group. But the amount of you who are so mad because you don't understand that they're expiring and you click request view ownership. I have gotten over 300 Google emails. And possibly my messaging is wrong. 300 people are telling me.
It sounds like.
That my messaging is wrong. However, if you through the month of April... And I told Corey this because I do feel bad that maybe my messaging is wrong. People didn't get some of these sheets, which are super cute. The last podcast of this month, I will create a URL, a domain where you can click and for 24 hours, download all of them. But after that, they will be accessing nothing.
So right now we've done a tulip, a carrot. You've done a pumpkin.
I think pumpkin is today and a ladybug was yesterday. Okay. So again, the ladybug gone.
That's 4. That's 4 right there.
It's 4. And I have them all teed up to drop. But somebody, I can also make them. So I've been really trying to learn Illustrator. Mm-hmm. And I can't give away something that I got from somebody else. I have to make this stuff from scratch. Somebody asked for owls and balloons.
Owls?
I don't know.
Peculiar.
Peculiar. But she was like owls. And I was like,
how are you going to make that very tiny?
An owl? I don't know. Maybe she's making a tree scene and wants an owl in a tree.
How are you going to make that owl?
I was going to make it.
What do you mean? I'm going to draw this with my finger. Okay, I'm watching. It's a cute owl shape. So okay. Think this, and then it comes down like that. Almost like the shape you're printing now. That says grad.
But that's from you, Sam's Cookie Company. Can I do my Twin Twitter?
Yeah, you're just bumping all over.
No. Let's go back to it. What were you talking about?
Well, you skipped now to your transfer thing.
Oh, yeah, my transfer thing. Let's go back. Yeah, so if you're listening to this in post, I'm so sorry you've missed the month of April. But right now in April 2023, I'm doing this every day. You can come in and get an April transfer freebie. We've already done the carrots, which are super cute. Mm-hmm. Ladybugs of two different sizes and tulips. Today is pumpkins, tomorrow apples.
It's literally, I just said that.
Right? And then I think I was going to do
I think apples eggs. Is cute for a teacher preach.
Right? It's coming right. up. We have presents. I'm not even following like the holidays. I'm just doing anything. We got Santa hats coming, snowmen, stamps.
But people are like, my transfer collection is going to be the best ever. And when you need those transfers, you can just flip.
And right they're to free. It. If so, I was looking
can
on.
Can you print them for me so I can make a video on it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried to click download. Don't work.
Really? <Just kidding. laughs> If you're having an issue downloading, a couple people have. It's your device's issue. It's not Google Drive's issue. I highly recommend switching to a computer myself. But if you have another issue, someone said it's probably a setting in your iPhone, and they have posted in the comments, which I've been reposting, how to get around that.
Nice.
Worst case, bug somebody else and ask them to email it to you. These are PDFs, so it should be just fine. If someone's saying if the PDF isn't rendering for you, just download it anyways. It should be there. It's probably just a preview screen on your device that's having an issue. Loading. But fun.
Back to Heather's going to hopefully post this soon. But our next collab.
This is a fun one.
Is the state collab. So wherever.
Can we come up with a jazzier name?
Yeah, what would be a jazzier name?
Rep My State collab?
Rep My State. Love that. Love that. Write that one down.
The old pattern.
So what we want to do is, you know, people love the state that they're from. Granted,
you, Texas.
Do people love Texas? Granted, Northern Virginia is definitely not people from the state. But
just make traffic lights.
Yeah. But what we want to do is highlight the state so you can connect with your audience a little bit more.
But be creative. Yeah. So the natural inclination here is just to make a cookie cutter state, right? But I would say find things that your audience will recognize that maybe people outside of the state wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Corey, the mixing bowl, that complicated road.
Yeah, like, how would I make that up to
it? What if we made it? What if I did a screenshot of it?
Oh, and tried it.
That'd be great. That'd be hilarious.
It would be hilarious.
Let's see if we can do it. Mixing bowl. And then you can kind of bring, so Corey will be able to tie that one back in her name.
Yeah. That's true. And what that does is brand awareness. People love to connect with their state, especially people who've grown up around you and never left.
So should they keep it state? Because I know Mixing Bowl is Northern Virginia. Corey and I are from Northern Virginia, which people act like is a different part. But you're not going to resonate with people from Big Stone Gate. That's where Corey's husband from.
And I wouldn't. Yeah, there are coal mines down there. We got not one coal mine.
You do the natural bridge. That's the middle of the state. People would recognize
these
that.
These are hard to do.
A rock?
Printed on it.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. What else could we do?
I definitely think.
Maryland's just going to be straight crabs.
How about if you did your state and maybe the state flower on top of it?
A dogwood?
Yeah. Or sunflowers.
Cardinal. Like. It's not our state flower.
Yeah. It's no.
A chubby cardinal.
Oh, a chubby cardinal would be cute.
Could we do a chubby state or would that get too blobby? Virginia's not very cute.
Could you make a cute Virginia?
I don't know. Could we?
I think a squished one.
A squished Virginia.
Like in a little chunk,
you know? Okay. Okay. Vibing.
So then I could do one cookie that's a cardinal, the state itself, maybe a car for traffic.
What if you did brake lights? Like cars, butts.
Oh, the back of the
yeah. What if we took a little car and just put them in a line that looks like traffic?
Oh, that would be cute.
Traffic.
So this one's really open to a lot of interpretation.
But I would say niche it down. If you have some like a local thing that's very apparent to your audience, but we wouldn't get, great. And then in the copy, you can let us, the people in the collab, kind of know what it's about. And then we get to learn more about your state, what your area has that ours doesn't have. And then we can also like connect again.
I could do the cherry blossoms.
Because I already did a cookie. Like
it's close enough.
The tidal basin. I think the cherry blossoms are overhyped. You know what? Did you see this, the little tree that could? Okay, no. There's this one cherry blossom tree. He had an issue and he died.
Oh.
But they saved him. But he has one stick of flowers.
Oh.
Yeah, let me see. They named him.
Don't make me get up and see that. I'm going to cause a ruckus.
Cherry blossom tree with one limb. No, that's not showing up quickly. Okay. DC, keep talking. I'm looking.
I don't
for
know
my
what
tree.
Else to say.
Where are you, Jimmy? Anyways, that could be something. Yeah. Apparently, it's not that popular.
I just saw it.
Yeah, okay. You didn't grow that big. But yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not like cherry blossom idea, by the way.
You don't?
No.
Why?
You did dogwood. Now you're, that's our state. We are Virginians.
So dogwood?
That's what our flower is.
I know. You act like I'm talented at baking. I'm not.
It's a flower with a curly end. What do you want from them?
I was just flying by.
What else could you do?
What else?
My goodness.
What else are we known for?
Traffic.
Olive Garden.
You did an Olive Garden set.
Look how.
Breadsticks are one shape. Take a pill and make it long and tell you. And a butter.
I will say that at Olive Garden, they did bring me cheese ravioli with meat sauce. Oh, and
did Corey send it back? She did.
She said, I couldn't do it.
Was it not good?
To me, it's so much sourer.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Don't like care. A little tangy.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Everything Olive Garden makes is amazing. But I thought it was interesting. The waitress there is one of the most talented waitresses I've seen. I have extensive knowledge of the bread. And the way she, you know, guys, we kind of say like me and you against a policy.
Yeah.
She did her and Corey against the kitchen. So Corey's like, hey, I'm so sorry. I can't eat tangy meat. And then the lady, what was her name?
Perla,
she was like, oh, they did that. I'm so sorry. And immediately when she said they did that, it became her was our, like, savior.
Yeah.
And the kitchen was the evil
like they
people.
Were gonna go. And that's what we say to make your – be against your business. So a customer's like, can you just fit in this last dozen? You know, the policy says it needs to be 2 weeks.
And I would – you know, but I can find you this other thing. So it's you and the client against the policy.
Yeah.
And I thought the way that she handled that was pretty slick.
She did. And then she got me.
Really good waitress though. And then obviously the way she comped dessert –
she did.
She didn't have to. But Corey's like, oh, I think you forgot to. They do that Ziosk thing.
Uh-huh.
She's like, oh, I think you forgot to add the dessert. And she's like, I don't remember giving you guys your dessert. Wink, wink. Great waitress.
Great.
For sure. And then Corey ended up giving her the dessert and tip.
Yeah.
And all's well in the world.
That ends well. Tell us about the Cookie College.
Oh. The Cookie College, we just dropped the cookie class kits for April, which is included in the Cookie College. But that was the big thing behind this April transfer giveaway is – back to adding value while you sell to people,
mm-hmm.
It's hard. It is a hard pill to swallow if somebody's constantly selling you things and not giving you any value.
Yeah.
And I don't want the Cookie College to be associated with that. So at the end of the day, every day I post about the transfer, I'm going to give you a little fact about the Cookie College that may make you want to sign up now or in the future. But again, no cost to you to download the transfer sheet. If you didn't even want to read my little blurb, you don't have to. But if you wanted to learn more about the Cookie College, it is everything Corey and I stand for in a monthly membership, of which I got to say, so the Cookie College comes with the freebie photos in the cookie group and the cookie class kits and classes and digital downloads, which I have to get out today.
Yes.
But Easter. Can we just talk about Easter
it's
being
right,
too early?
It's here, man. It's
but it
here.
Wasn't it in the middle
That's
of
That's what month? I thought. Don't go Googling again.
I still got the tree.
That stopped you.
Yeah. Corey and I said, if you have to grab your phone and show someone a picture, you've gone too far.
Let me just tell you the theory behind this. This has nothing to do with anything baking in the podcast. When someone comes up to you, this happens a lot in our cookie classes. Someone will be like, my mom's aunt's cousin made a cake once. And they're like, let me show it to you. First off, they have no idea in their gallery where that picture is located.
If you have that photo there, you already have a lot of photos.
You have
in general.
Yeah, you've gotten that photo years
ago. Yeah, and a lot of y'all aren't organizing your folders.
I'm case in point,
too. So we got the scroll going on.
So what they do is when you're on your phone, time is
time
stopped for you.
Yeah. We thought that there's a time warp when you're scrolling through your images because your brain's like, keep going. Oh, remember this? Oh, look.
Yeah. Like, oh, I think I'm close. But we here on the outside that are waiting.
Time is passing fast.
But we're standing there. Awkward. Time
we're looking at you. But in your mind, you still got stuff going on.
Yeah.
We've stopped thinking.
Yeah. I'm just waiting to see this photo. It's the when you're
we had went to eat with some people that we didn't know. local ladies.
Oh, yeah. And I think she was on her phone for 20 minutes. We finally had to continue with the new conversation.
But then when she dialed back in, we had a revert. Yeah, back there.
We were so gone, but she was like still stuck in the old conversation.
Here's something I've been noticing. If they wanted to, they would. If the person you want to show the photo to wanted to see it, they would say, "Hey, would you mind showing me a photo?" Mm-hmm.
So I'm training.
Heads up, they're not gonna ask.
I'm training my older sister.
No, my older sister has this problem where she shows YouTube videos that are really long.
Yeah.
You don't
so
know.
So long. 7 minutes?
I don't have that kind of time.
And you did it the other day when you said, let me show you this TikTok. But then you started looking for visual cues from people that we were still watching.
No, you were like, show me the TikToks. And then you were like, look, go show dad this one. So I showed
dad
him. And he's like,
a car accident.
Whoa.
I came back to you and said, they are not interested.
But the other day you were like, this is you. Look, guys.
Oh yeah.
I was like, does everyone laughed as much as I did.
Me and Heather said, when you like, why does this happen? This has nothing to do with the podcast either. Why when you see a funny video like a TikTok or a reel, you didn't make it.
Safety in numbers.
But you saved validation. You saved
There's
it.
So much psychologically going on there where you take ownership of something. You take you have ownership. Nothing to do
like
with.
I played a song for my son that I found last night. And he was like, yeah, that's okay. And I was like, no, it's really good. But why am I
Is that
so
why you
offended?
Said it?
I thought we were said Heather. Like, Archer said, oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Because oh, I'd like it.
It yeah. was
I'd
just.
I'd say, oh, no. Yeah. I accidentally told Corey I kind of like birds. And now my TikTok sends are just
I'm kind
birds.
Of obsessed with birds.
Yeah. I've it's given so birds crazy. To you. Birds can be yours now. I didn't like them as much as you thought I did. Like parrots that can talk.
Parrots that can talk are mind-boggling
Corey,
to me.
It doesn't matter. It'll be just like a bird.
They
in
can
this.
Live to 83.
Yeah.
83 years old. A bird.
I know.
And
I've
they're
seen
loud.
Them all in my
they're loud.
Yeah.
How you doing? Tinkerbell.
See, this is when you wouldn't want to pull up a girl. Why are we talking about showing photos? We're at the Olive Garden.
Mm.
What?
Oh, that was a tangent, man. The Olive Garden. Not really sure what led there.
Pulling up your phone, showing pictures. Time slows. Interstellar. Every minute on your phone is 7 years on Earth.
Oh, I don't know how we migrated over there.
Like the birds.
Do you have your Twitter? Do you want to say?
Yes. I had decided on the 3D printer I want. I joined this Facebook group yesterday. I'm easily impressionable. Well, let me see if I can find it.
Please
anyways,
stop pulling up your
phone. I'm pulling my phone.
We literally just said to mom, time is stopped over here. I'm getting older.
Well, then come up with yours. I'm going to recommend this group because they are great. Okay, talk about your twin twitters if you have one.
I don't know if I have a twin.
Women? You come on, Corey. You spend money like a reckless abandon. Okay, 3D printing for women and girls. That is the name.
Women and girls, wow.
I know, it was very specific. Anyways, I joined this group. And somebody was saying, hey, if you could go back in time. These aren't women. These are engineers. I think the things that they're making.
Mathin.
Look at that. Look, I'm showing my
phone.
Oh,
my goodness.
Right, I have
Can
no
I look
town.
At it real quick?
Yes,
oh, see, I'm asking.
Yeah. They're loud. So they're talking in that group, like, what 3D printer, if you could go back in time and get
is
one again.
Is that why you can do two colors? Uh-huh. But he has three colors on him.
I don't know how to do it. I'm not smart enough. But these ladies in this group are saying, I would get a Sovol 4. Sovol 4, I say to myself as I run to Google it on the podcast. So I thought, like a lot of people, oh no, I was going to get the 06. A lot of people recommend Prusa Mini, which seems really cool, but it's pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was like, okay, well, let's see what this Sovol printer has. That these people like so much. And it is so crazy what it does. It can print two filaments at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's the price of the Prusa. It's not as pretty, but it looks like a glorified Ender. However, self-leveling. Two different filaments in the same print. My brain doesn't even know.
Yeah.
But it can handle two different types of film in the same print, or it has mirror mode. So let's say if you had a cookie cutter of a lion looking to the left, you could also print it to the right at the same time.
Wow, that would not help my cutter addiction.
No, not at all. But it seemed pretty cool. And I was reading more and more about, so here's the features that it has. This is one I think I'm going to get. It's 500, which is what the Prusa is. 400?
Is it?
Someone said that's what they're recommending. Price isn't the biggest factor, but you want efficiency and ease of use. So it has independent dual extruders. Independent meaning you can also print two different things.
Wow.
Wow. At the same time, two completely different things. Or you can print the two different colors of the same.
My brain can't even wrap around
that. Nor can I. Metal Titan Direct Drive, which I think that was the thing that was testing if the bed was level. Auto leveling as a silent board. Large build volume. Don't even know what that means. Touchscreen. Filament sensor, so it can tell you if filament's running out. Mm-hmm. Also, I had
visually see that it's running out? Visually.
But a lot of people go to bed. Because these prints can take up, I mean, some of these people are printing 48 hours. It made a noise and it pauses itself. Oh. For some reason, it's bragging about the large SD card. Like, that was a huge feature because the Ender has a micro. Resume printing, I thought was pretty neat. So a lot of times if the Ender break stops, it's just we're starting over, even if we're in the last 2 seconds of a print.
Did you order something? FedEx is outside.
Yeah, I am.
What did you get?
A car part.
Oh,
and then here's one thing I like, belt tensioner, which I've actually been having a little bit of issue with the Ender because the belt gets loose and loose over the time that you print it.
Heather printed me a cutter last week and I could already tell. I said, this bad boy's going to split.
This wall splitting seems to be a belt issue. Yeah. Of course, there's 50 more other problems it could be, but I did tighten the belts and I thought that we'll see when these prints finish up. Thanks.
It's like Sam's a macaron of digitalness. You never know what's going wrong. But when it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
And 50 ways you have to fix it. So anyways, I think this is going to be my move. The SVO4 IDEX 3D printer and the auto leveling.
You're going to do a class on that?
I don't know. Would anybody be interested? I've never heard anybody in the cookie groups talk about this, but 3D printer group.
Can't hurt.
I mean, talk about what if we printed two cutters in two different colors? You could just be more efficient.
Yeah.
But two, you can also use those to print. So it can take turns with filament colors while it's printing one object. So you could have two filament colors in one object. Of course, I only know how to print cookie cutters. Yeah. I'll need to take a class on printing other things. That's my twintrist.
I don't know if I have a twinny.
Corey.
I don't think Corey. I do.
Let's trace back your week. Mm. You cleaned?
I did get new on-cloud shoes.
You did. Because so Corey's got the strongest toenail in the world.
Yeah. So if you remember, my big toe busts through the top of the shoes. But guess what OnCloud added to their new shoes?
Toe reinforcement.
A toe reinforcement. Right on the big toe, right where my hole was. I honestly think they listened to customer feedback and they pivoted.
Can I say this about Chick-fil-A? Okay. Listening to customer feedback and implementing it. Right. Feels so great, right?
It does.
Like a feature you didn't even think you should get, you got.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A was going to take its side salad off the menu.
It's what?
It's side salad.
I don't think I've ever ordered that.
It's all I order. It's my favorite thing to order. It's just the salad with none of the extras.
Like
two
no
tomatoes.
Chicken or something?
No chicken, no nothing. Just salad, two tomatoes, a little bit of cheese. Then whatever dressing pack you want to add. It's like nice to add to an unhealthy meal, you know? Just a little bit green to counteract those fries.
All right.
But they were taking it off the menu.
Wow.
People are like, this is one, the only healthy thing other than the big salads. But the big salads are a commitment.
Yeah. And you got chicken on it.
I just wanted something simple, like a little green. I really just wanted ranch in my mouth. Yeah. And I wanted to not feel guilty. But then they said, okay, you know what? We're putting it back on the menu. We're not taking it off. And also we're adding a drink you've asked for 6 years.
What was it?
Watermelon lemonade.
Oh.
Yeah.
It sounds refreshing.
Yeah. They said we brought that back as well.
See, I love.
And the people rejoiced.
Yeah. Yes, on cloud. I bought another pair of, and these on clouds are not cheap, my friends.
The minute my grandmother heard that they returned those shoes and gave you credit to buy the nicest pair, she went and bought a pair.
Yeah.
I bought a pair.
I regret the color I got in the first pair.
Really?
They're like
black?
Tan and blue. Tan. Like
you guys just
light
wear them.
Tan.
You just got to commit.
It makes it look like a hiking shoe. I look like I just came off a hike.
Have you gone on a walk in those shoes? It's great. It has changed my little...
I'm still wearing the holy ones.
You see these cheap shoes I got from DSW on sale, mm-hmm. plus a birthday $10 off? These
are
were
dirty.
Making my knees... Oh, yeah. I gave up on cleaning them. When I took my 5-mile walks, my knees were screaming.
Yeah, you need some good walkers.
I really wasn't a believer until I tried it.
For these on cloud that are made for running and walking in marathons.
Yeah, so I did... They got a thick old sole.
They have they're lightweight, though.
They're lightweight, but the sole was a little chunkier on the chunkier side, which I'm usually a low-profile
shoe. For this guy right here?
Yeah.
I don't think – I think it's kind of cute.
Look at this. Look at this and look at that. You got some chunky holes.
Yeah, but
and
I just kind of think it's cute, though.
Yeah, it's cute, but boy, does it change the way these shoes wear. I just thought, like, strap it to your foot, tie it on, I'll be fine. But no, I mean, my knees were really hurting, and now they don't.
I ran my first half marathon with the wrong shoes.
Yeah, I know how to drive.
I lost 5 toenails.
Really?
Yeah. Turn blue and black. Pop
Isn't
right
it
off.
Isn't it so hot right now?
I'm burning up.
So let's go on to
We have two Facebook Lives coming up. And I'll add the state collab. I'll do it this week, I promise. But thank goodness to everyone who heard the call to action. One person at Cookie College was like, I had to do so much research for Flip Insurance that I feel like I have enough knowledge to just pass on what I learned, which is great. At the end of the day, guys, if you would love to teach a Facebook Live, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to have enough knowledge that people would like to learn, which I can guarantee you a lot of us want to learn.
We do.
And if you did the research and we don't have to, by all means.
Yes.
Who was the other one? Oh, man, just escaped my mind. It's a real, oh, Farmers Markets.
Yes.
Farmers Markets. This will be great. So we have those two coming up. We have the state collab coming up, which I'm going to give us a break for the month of April. I think it'll be in June. And then we have CookieCon, which is flying at us.
Flying.
I'm not ready. Campbell Brookshire got us some Buc-ee's.
Oh, she knows. She knows.
She knows. So we'll be at CookieCon Ohio on May 1st. I have to rent a car.
Oh, yeah.
Because you won't let us drive yours. Mm-mm.
Don't want to put the miles on it.
And then we'll do a happy hour on May 1st, which is right before official CookieCon starts, but the elective classes would have already been going on that day.
I think so, yeah.
This is really laid back. We'll just find a restaurant that has some tables.
Hopefully it's got chips and salsa.
If not, we'll find a place. But we're going to just do it at the Kalahari Resort where CookieCon is. So yeah, if you're there, great. Us.
You'll be hearing some hoot and holler and some high-pitched voices.
And there's a Facebook event where I'll keep everyone updated as we get closer and I can find an event.
No voice.
Mary and I will be scouting venues all night.
We'll be what?
Scouting venues all day.
All day. So, taste testing for you.
I would like to try your chips and salsa and your chips and salsa.
I want to move to the sponsors, and I have a Eddie rating, an Eddie review that was sent in.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says, here's a review from
Do we need to know what Eddie is before we hear that?
Oh, yeah. Eddie is a direct-to-food printer, and I'm talking, like, directly on food. It's not wafer papers or anything like that. It's printing on top of your royal icing, and people are doing some amazing things.
I want to paint somebody's picture.
Sure.
Imagine printing the egg design onto an egg-shaped cookie.
Yeah.
And then piping whatever details or names. When people mix the abilities that an Eddie printer has with their piping – oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Think like you did a cute bunny plaque, but their names are printed on it.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
Easy. Because that takes the longest. It's lettering.
Let's say like, you know, like gingham is a big color in the Easter baskets. Mm-hmm. That's hard to stencil. It's 2 seconds to print.
Remember I did on those eggs last year?
Do you have a gingham stencil? Could we do a comparison?
I don't even have a gingham stencil.
I was supposed to learn that critical.
You did not. All right. So this says, I love you, Eddie. That's how it starts out. I just recently received my Eddie printer and immediately completed my first order of 500 logo cookies. I was amazed at the ease of use for this printer and the excellent quality of the image printed onto the cookies. I used the carousel while printing 503-inch round cookies, and the logo looked amazing once printed. There were only like 2 or 3 that were not perfect due to a slight misalignment of the printed logo. Fantastic that over 500 cookies printed turned out perfectly. Followed the drying advice from Primera and the logo remained dried once in the poly bags. I am so happy I made the purchase and am very happy with the quality of the printed image and the ease of the use with the Eddie printer.
Why can't they write a review for Sugar Cookie Marketing? Like
that? And if you want to know, Eddie is currently rated 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot. And I know 100%.
That's really, I mean, that's amazing. But Eddie is pretty fantastical. It sounds so crazy. Because it is.
It is crazy.
I was going to say, let's do a gingham off, but I can't. I don't know how
really,
to do
my mind isn't like, do you know what gingham is?
It's like checkers.
But it's different colors.
Red, red.
Just red
and
checkers?
They cross, and when the two reds cross, it's a deeper red.
Okay. Yeah,
don't make me Google and show you right now.
Next is Acor Backers. And if you did not know, they just had their...
Did you get it?
Dent. No, I did not.
This is genius. This is a genius idea in general from a marketing standpoint. So tell us what it is.
So Acor Backers, when they make these backers, they will only send it out to you if they're perfect. But a lot of times in the manufacturing or when they're being sent to them, they'll have dents and scratches that are pretty minor. But Acor won't send them out because they're not perfect. But now these are just sitting in their warehouse. So what they did was a dent and scratch sale. You could get these backers that usually at full price, you're looking between $70 and $80, but they were 50% off.
That's
and
a huge.
She said, all, you,
I mean, use she's beads never done 50%.
To co- yeah, use beads to cover it up, put a plate there, put a cookie
you
on
easily
it.
Easily Photoshop that.
And you could Photoshop it out. It's super easy. So a lot of people were able to get these
I mean, they sold out. She started at midnight on Friday, and it sold out by morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. One. I mean, 50% off. And something you can cover up with a plate.
Absolutely. She's never offered 50% off, but she said, I think it's, you know, it would benefit them because it's not perfect, but also get these
what
out.
What a nice gateway into getting good prop backgrounds.
We kind of like pushed her into starting it at midnight. She was just going to do it randomly on Saturday during a time, but we were like, post it now. Post it. I didn't really change.
Peer pressure works, friends.
It did. So.
Okay. And then we have Bakety Bake meringue powder, which Corey and I have classes to use this weekend.
I refilled mine. Ready to roll.
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you done the dough? Have you made the dough?
No.
Do it. You haven't? That was yesterday.
I did not get into it. I'm sorry.
Corey and I are teaching two classes, and we're actually teaching cookie class kids classes, right?
Yeah.
The Easter class.
Yes.
It will be. It's so cute. It has one thing I did like about this class that you haven't done since or before is one cookie in one slide, the whole thing. It helped because it was an Easter egg and you can go crazy.
But you couldn't really do
Here's my one thing. I wonder if people, we should probably tell them to follow the curriculum still, because when you leave people to their own devices, they're, again, time grows slow.
I mean, the reason why they're in the order that they're in is to let them dry enough to proceed to the next.
Oh, okay. So I guess when you see a little crusting, we can move along. Back to Bakey to Bake Idaho, meringue powder that Corey loves. I don't know what it is, but Corey loves it, and she talks about it incessantly. And you can get it from BakeyToBakeIdaho.com. It's called her Royal Batch Meringue Powder. Use code TWINS at checkout to save 10%. And I think, Corey said, 5-pound bag ships free.
I think so.
If not, still the 10% should get you some and more. But really, it has everything you need to get out the gate
and ships to Canada now.
Canadians.
It does.
You enjoy that, Canada.
Yeah.
You guys enjoy that. America's hat.
Do we have any voicemails?
You never check them anymore. Let me see if they get texts. You know what? It's because of voicemails. I have to download them and then I have to listen to them because we don't want anyone getting like a chat. And then while I do this, talk. So, quick, talk.
Let me see. I got my husband a new phone today. I bought every phone that he's had, but he does not take care of them. So I ended up getting him a pretty cheap phone, but his camera broke on his phone. And when I get the pictures of the pets, they look like potatoes. So I said, I'm going to upgrade your phone so that when you send me a picture of Fuzzle Wuzzum, it comes here.
You've gotten no texts. Son of a The last text was sent by a 166 area code. January 9th, it says iPhone tip enable feature where you can tap the back of your phone and it will take a photo screenshot. Hey, when you put two fingers on your iPhone face, what happens?
Like when it's like on this?
I'm sorry, your Apple Watch?
Like this?
Yeah, put two fingers on it and just hold. Did anything happen?
Oh, yeah.
Just the world?
4:02 p.m.
Oh, it says it.
I could have looked down and gotten that faster then.
On the ticket talkies. What if it was dark? I don't know. What if you're incapacitated, but you can only hear?
You know what? In the middle of the night, sometimes I'll wake up, and this does not shine bright like a diamond. It barely shines at all, but there's a flashlight. And I was like, what's a flashlight look like? No, it's just the screen turns white, so it's brighter.
You know what I saw on TikTok? Where's my phone? This guy was like, hey, people, you can set double tapping the buttons. And I was like, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
But he was like, yeah, just make it a flashlight.
Then you're going to look like an idiot when you accidentally push it out in public and you're walking around. You have to
double tap. I use it really. I can't believe I've lived my life without the double tap flashlight.
I don't feel like you ever used a flashlight before.
I use it at night. You and I are never together at night.
Where are you going?
To bed, to the basement to check my print. I don't know. I don't want to commit to a whole light. I just want a little bit of a light.
True. I have to sleep. It has to be completely dark.
Really?
It does. Don't like one light.
You sleep in a hot burrito.
I do.
I can't. I need to be cool. I need one, if anything touches my face, immediate claustrophobia. Absolutely not. If I feel my hot breath, no. If I need this area to have a cool breeze. If I feel my own breath come back and touch my cheek.
No. Or come back and touch my nose again. Mm-hmm. If it's just hot. No. Mm. I freak out. Just I
can't have that repurposed air. Gotta get that fresh air. Look at that good supply air. Are we missing something? I feel like there's something we meant to talk about and I'm missing it.
Really?
Let me see what time. No. We're in an hour and change. An hour and change.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all I got.
That's all we got.
That's all I got.
It's the only one I got. You guys, what is that quote from? Were we supposed to go see a movie this week?
We were seeing if mom was going to take my son's on spring break.
Did you invite me to see a movie and then uninvited me but didn't tell me? Because I know you said Wednesday.
No, I didn't invite you. I thought mom was going to be like, you said, we want to take you to the movie, and she never said.
You said, do you want to go see a movie with me, an Arch Tomorrow movie?
Do you want another summer?
Did you forget you invited me?
No, I did not.
You remember inviting me?
Yes.
And you, but now you're uninviting me.
I'm not uninviting tomorrow. You.
And there's been no details since the initial invite.
I know
invite.
On Thursday.
Okay. Can you buy the tickets? We had to do icing on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
We were teaching a cookie class, which you can listen to old podcasts and hear exactly how we break these down. But got greedy and decided to teach two in a day, which is always a bear. It's great when you're selling the tickets. It's terrible when you're slinging the icing over your head. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people really wanted the Easter class, which is great because typically, I always thought Easter was just a little bit harder to fill up, but I think maybe we didn't do Easter.
We did.
We did.
We always did the foot and the two peeps with the two black eyes.
Peeps. The two maybe little peeper eyes. Set.
No. The people that are coming today, one, we gave a free today? Ticket. I mean, for Saturday, when we gave a free ticket to an auction, and this lady came, and not only did she come, she ended up ordering cookies for me, and now she's bringing two of her friends, Joe.
Oh.
And then the other one was someone found out from the gym, because I was wearing my jacket that says Mixing Bowl Cookie Company. They're like, you make cookies, you
never bought
like, them.
That logo and branding is so snatched. What do you sell?
So she kept saying it was this personal trainer, like, you never bring me any cookies. So one day I did break her cookies, and now she keeps coming with her friends.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it's total. We have 20 people and five DIY kits. I thought we had those priced at 35, but they're only 30.
Raise that price.
It's 30 seems nice, though.
Yeah, when you're not baking them. That's
are
right.
Baking
on Thursday,
the
I have
to okay. You don't want to have to get that. Then we'll do icing on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Archer's going to mom's?
Uh-huh. On Friday. On Friday.
Okay.
Oh, you
had
maybe
a pookie kick up. A pookie kick up. Didn't you have one on Friday? You were asking. Okay, listen. Gordon cannot handle a backward word. A pookie kick up.
Wait, what was it again?
Pookie kick up. You gotta switch every letter and.